And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a very pleasant weekend and can spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation. That's very, very important. Our lines are totally open right now. Please give us a call as soon as you can at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So again, that's 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We don't read the emails during the show, but it's always a pleasure to hear from our listeners. So if you have a comment or a question, feel free, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can certainly do that. I know the KALW signal can be a little weak in some areas, you know, outside of the Portola district. And feel free to listen online at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like to get a podcast of the show, since the lovely Debbie Kennedy is available, I know it will be done with all the speed and finesse that she musters for her daily engineering job. So again, by going to kalw.org, you can get a podcast of the show afterwards. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And Jerry Nachman has decided to forego attending the America's Cup races on the bay in lieu of watching the grass grow in his backyard.
Good choice.
Thank you, Dana. Despite his best efforts, Laurie Fisher is brokenhearted to report, once again, to report that both Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan have sawed off the plank of the GOP platform that would have supported full federal funding of Minds Over Matter. We will have to muddle through somehow.
We will, and our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is only keeping warm today through the fever that he is running.
All right. So that is us, and we'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. Well, Phyllis Diller once posed nude for Playboy.
But well, thank you for having that image in our mind now.
But the photos never ran. Why not?
Photos never ran. How many years ago was it, Jerry?
I don't know. A long time ago.
All right. Photos never ran.
Did Hef disapprove of them on some level?
Well, no, because he was the one that probably wanted her to do it.
Yeah, his idea.
Well, sure. I thought maybe he saw them and had a change of mind or a change of heart.
Yeah, wasn't it? Why wouldn't they run?
You only get one guess.
Right.
One guess. Okay.
Right.
She thought she looked too good and it would ruin her image. How's that?
No.
Okay.
You could see the plastic surgery scars?
No, I don't think she'd started doing that then. No, that's not the answer.
All right. Why don't you repeat the question?
Okay, Phyllis Diller once posed nude for Playboy, but the photos never ran. Why not?
Okay. And Lori, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Well, Dana, I won't recuse you, but perhaps I should. These are two questions about the upcoming presidential conventions. Who's the first African-American nominated by the Republican Party, and when, and who was the first African-American nominated by the Democratic Party? It implies which happened first.
Edward Brooke?
No.
Republican?
No.
For president or vice president?
For president, I'm sorry, for president in both cases.
You can't give us more or less a
definite. I think I won't yet.
Okay.
It's interesting to mull over and...
Yeah.
Well, how about this? Were they both in the 20th century?
No.
Okay.
This was like during the Reconstruction?
Could be. It would, there were
several. Would we know their names?
You'll know the name of one of them for sure. And I didn't know the name of the other one, but...
For instance, there were several black, or more than several black senators, congressmen from the South during Reconstruction.
Du Bois?
No. Really good guess.
And so the one for the Democrats, one for... Well, would Shirley Chisholm be the one for the Democrats?
No. What year was she? Because I think it was...
72.
This was before that.
Okay. And would Frederick Douglass be the one for the Republicans?
That's correct.
All right.
Want to get, take a guess at the year?
Tough. How about, well, that's tough. Must be during, still during Reconstruction. How about 1872?
Yeah, close enough, 1888. So it was first at the Republican Convention for African American, okay? So we'll leave out the other one for Democratic before Shirley Chisholm. Right. So the question was, the answer was that Frederick Douglass was the first African American nominated by the Republicans, 1888. Who was the first for the Democrats? Okay. Not nearly as famous.
All right. And let's see here. Okay. What was the... I still have a few Olympics questions left. What was the only Olympics event that involved animals besides horses?
Did they still have it?
No.
Mule diving. It probably wasn't it. Was it polo? Oh, no, that would be horses. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. What was the only Olympics event... and it's no longer being held, that involved animals besides horses?
Great question.
Was it like a hunting? Like not skeet shooting, but something
like
involving real birds?
Dove shooting?
Real birds? Quail or whatever?
I'm going to give it to you. It's pigeon shooting.
Pigeon
really?
Shooting.
Yes, 1900, they had pigeon shooting.
Uh-huh. Wow. Uh-huh.
All right, good job.
I was going to guess bear baiting, but I think that was already eliminated.
All right. And... let's see. What is the most popular food in the United States named after a first lady? What is the most popular food in the United States named after a first lady?
Dolly Madison ice cream?
I'm going to give that to you, too, because it's the Dolly Madison snack cakes.
Okay.
Really?
Yes. Yes. All right. You're going through my questions here. A lot. Okay. Something. All right. Something
I'm off for a week. I come roaring back.
Something much more difficult for you. Okay. The first Oscar for special effects was given for 1939, the year of 1939 and 1940. It was actually given in 1940, but it was for the films of 1939. The winner, strangely enough, was not Gone with the Wind or The Wizard of Oz. What was the winner? The first Oscar for special effects was given for films of 1939. It was not Gone with the Wind or The Wizard of Oz. What was it? It's a big-budget, well-known movie.
Was it also up for Best Picture that year?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That was a famous year for great
it
movies.
It might have been.
Yeah. Movies
I'm not absolutely sure. Big stars.
Big stars and big special effects, like
yes.
Like Wizard of Oz kind of
special effects.
All right. Oh, that's good. 1940 for 1939.
Film came out in 1939.
Yeah. Was that an action film?
Yes. I mean, there's lots of there's action
yeah.
in it.
Well...
Let's put it that way.
I don't mean people walking across the
it's
street.
It's not a drawing room comedy, okay?
Not a drawing room comedy.
No, it's not.
Big
and it's a very well-known title.
It was from a bestseller. The book was a big bestseller, and then they made a movie out of it with big stars. As just about as big as you could get, or pretty close to as big as you could get at the time.
Oh.
Bestseller.
We ought to be able to think of this one.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Here from San Mateo.
Hello.
Was the film Wuthering Heights?
No.
I got a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Both involved there. The first one is, you know, way back, you know, there was Seal Stadium. Forget what street was on. When they tore it down, they built a now defunct the discount department store. You know what it was?
The 16th and Bryant Street.
Yeah, I know. Do you know when they tore down Seal Stadium in 1957, they erected... what was part of a chain of a now defunct department store?
What was it? 16th and Bryant Street, Jerry?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember. I remember that. I know
it's
stadium.
It's got color in it.
What's that?
Got color in it.
In the name.
Walgreens.
No.
No, department store. Now, I was going to say Roose Brothers, but that's not it.
Not there.
It's got a color in it. Let's think for a minute.
Yeah.
Is it
two name title?
Is it still exist?
No, it closed in about mid 70s.
Color.
The White House.
Oh, no, you're close.
Oh. Now, that's not a good
enough
neighborhood.
Something
for the
white house. Though.
It would have been much more.
Yeah, it's got white something. I'll give you a clue. Well, I'll give you part of it. The second part
white
of the
front.
Photo is the opposite of back.
White front.
Right.
Never heard of that.
They had one in Oakland. I didn't know they had one in San Francisco. Okay. They had one in Oakland.
Yeah.
Higgenberger.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's my second question. Right. You remember now that Channel 44, it was at South Sea LKW? But it was when Kaiser broadcasting, no way, but it was KBHK. Do you know what KBHK stood for?
Oh, KBHK. Kaiser. I don't know.
You're right by the first one.
Yeah.
Kaiser Broadcasting.
Yep, you're close.
Is the H for health or anything?
No, the H stands for something to do with the
Henry founder. Kaiser. Henry Kaiser.
Yeah, Kaiser Broadcasting, Henry Kaiser. You got it.
Okay. Nice.
All right, good.
Yeah. Jerry's on fire.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to join us here on Minds Ever Matter with a call, please do that at 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We have some lines open right now. Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, this is the all-time trivia question, which you will probably knock off right away, Dana. But Superman, as we all know, hailed from Krypton. But what was the planet's capital city called?
I would not get this.
You wouldn't get that? Okay.
No,
well,
I never. I was
good.
The capital of Krypton?
Yeah.
Did it translate into Smallville in Kryptonese
no,
or something
no.
like that?
Apparently, it's known to all Superman buffs.
Wow.
You know?
Well, I'm sure our buffs tonight. Are out. Well, our buffs are
is
out
it a,
there.
Is it a,
yeah, the buffs are out there.
Yeah. Is it kind of a derivation on maybe a Jewish name, Jerry? Like, because there's so many of the Superman names are in a way?
Are they really? What
yeah.
other ones?
Well, Jor-El and, you know, stuff
oh,
like
supposedly,
that.
Oh, supposedly, yeah. Well, it could be. It could be, but
did
I
you
don't...
mention it in your bar mitzvah speech
could
at
be.
All?
It could be. Yeah. It could be a...
Harukata.
Hebrew name for something. Hebrew name for something. I don't know.
Baruch Krypton.
No.
Okay.
I thought you would know this because this sounds like a
it's not my
basic
area.
Trivia
yeah,
question. I know, but
yeah.
nonetheless.
Our audience will know this.
Have you ever seen it used as the name of anything else?
I know. I never had heard of it.
Okay.
I haven't.
All right.
That's why it's
I
for Superman buffs only.
Oh, well, we got a lot of calls on this, so
yeah,
obviously
okay.
people are going to know.
They're
okay.
lining up.
They're, yeah. And I sadly neglected my comic book education.
I thought that would be one area of your expertise.
No, I never read comic books. All I had was Classics Illustrated comic books. You know, like those during the Reign of Terror, which was the 12-page version of A Tale of Two Cities. So
those were all the
with
smart,
all the boring parts left out.
So all the grinds read that.
Yeah.
The rest of us
wasted our time on
Archie
regular
and Little Lulu,
right? Yeah.
And,
Jughead,
and
Fritzy Ritz.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Fred from West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, Laura and Danny.
Hey, Fred.
I want to let you know I'm president of the West Virginia Minds Over Matter.
All right, we've gone national again.
Yeah, good.
Excellent.
And Phyllis Diller, of course, her father objected.
No, that's not correct.
Oh.
Okay.
good. That's a logical guess, but no.
I thought. All right, here's a question. What do the three first men on the moon have in common with the three first men on the Earth?
Ooh. So,
oh, ABC, you know, Adam.
No, he was
Armstrong.
Not a part of ABC.
I don't know.
It's not their first initials, huh?
Pretty much, that's it.
Oh, that is it.
Adam Armstrong and who? And
Michael
Cain
Collins,
and Cain and Abel. What? Buzz Aldrin.
And Michael Collins.
And Michael Collins is for Cain.
Cain, Abel, and Adam. Wow.
Man, you guys are too good.
We are very good. Tonight.
It's Jerry tonight.
Once in a while.
You get all the West Virginia
thank
questions.
You,
thank you very much.
Thanks, Fred.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I'm George from Berkeley.
Hi, George.
Did you get an answer yet to the special effects question?
No, we did not.
Is it Ben-Hur?
It is not Ben-Hur.
Is it the Ten Commandments?
Not the Ten Commandments. Remember, it's 1939.
Oh, that's my best guesses.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, George.
Ten Commandments was in the 50s, I think.
Yeah, well, there's one in the 20s, and there was one in the 50s. So.
You should get this.
Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. I have another convention question. When was the last time each convention went to a second ballot? As we know, everybody gets nominated during the primaries, and we know. When was the last time the Democrats went to a second ballot? When was the last time the Republicans went there? At least as far as I could find out.
Is this in our lifetimes?
As a matter of fact, yes. In your lifetime and, and mine, too.
I mean, together.
Yeah. Added to the other. The three of us added together.
So we're covering the whole span of American history now.
Going back to England in the 14th century. No, it's all since World War II, as a matter of fact.
Huh. Okay. Well, I think 52 was...
Taft.
Eisenhower and Taft, yeah, I think that went to a second ballot.
Actually, it was 52, but it was the other party. It was Stevenson and Kefauver and Richard Russell.
Oh.
Yeah, Eisenhower didn't, according to that. So that's the Democrats.
All right.
The Republicans might have, but this happened before that.
Oh, before that.
Did the Republican one happen before or after that? I'm sorry.
Before that.
Before that. Oh, well, then it must be...
Wilkie
at 40.
That's not what I have.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, you have Eisenhower getting it on the first ballot.
We want Wilkie.
See, yeah. That one I don't remember.
Wilkie was the only one that, basically got it at the convention. Let me think. I guess it could be one of the Dewey. Was it 44 Dewey?
It was 48 Dewey.
48
yeah,
Dewey.
With Robert Taft and Harold Stassen. I was surprised to see that.
Yeah.
So that's both of them. Very good.
Give us another question, I guess.
All right. The other question would be, I asked this question the very first time I was on the show, and I'm updating it now since it's been like 3 years. If someone were a full-time community college student,
I don't think the statute of limitations is run out yet, but we'll see.
I want to know what the tuition is if you're a full-time student at a community college, at a California State University, and at a UC. We have a three-tiered system now that is. Up for grabs, kind of, and I want to know.
Community college, state college, and UC.
Yes, those are the
gosh,
three.
Gosh, I have no idea.
Oh, it's gone up so much in the last few years.
It's gone up since I've...
$500 when I was in college.
For which one?
San Jose State.
Yeah, it's more than that now, believe it or not.
Yeah,
I thought you went to correspondence school.
I went to Draw Me University.
matriculated there.
Let's see. So how do you want this?
For a full-time student, just what would it cost for a year at Diablo Valley College, at San Francisco State, and at UC Berkeley? We can take three specific. They're all the same for the
system. I'll say for a state college, I will say $8,000 a year.
You're a little high.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah, $6,000 for the state university.
That's not too bad.
Too bad.
Doable.
Yeah. Then you add in books.
And you can never get the courses you want anymore. But
UC. City College. What would that be?
City College. City College is the same. All the community colleges are the same.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to say UC is like 12 to 14 now.
Yeah, 13-2. Very good.
Okay.
So 13-2 for the UCs and 6,000 for the CSUs. All that's left is the wonderful community college system.
All right, we'll leave that.
Well, let me guess. I never haven't guessed on that. I'll say 500 for City College.
Per semester, 1,100 total. Very nice.
Okay.
Good work. All right, knock those out. All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Mind Over Matter.
Yes, hi. This is Judith from San Francisco.
Hi, Judith.
And regarding Phyllis Diller, I believe that the publishers decided that she looked too good for the people who knew her. To accept it.
That's exactly right. Her figure was deemed too good to be amusing.
Wow.
And
she actually had a good shape.
Yes, but
I don't know personally.
Did you date?
No, I didn't.
Another one of Jerry's paramours.
No, but she used to talk about that in interviews all the time. That she really, that was all an act. Her face was another matter.
I also want to ask, see whether Mrs. Miniver could be the movie.
The special effects?
No, not Mrs. Miniver.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, I have what I consider an interesting question. You'll be the judge of that. But all right, these are the 10 The 10 countries in the world that are most likely to have a city named after them in the United States, a city or town, okay?
10 countries.
These are the 10 countries, the 10 foreign countries in the world that are most likely to have a city or town named after them in the United States.
So when you say most likely, that means they have the most already named after them?
Yes, they have the most.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, just another Great Britain, of course, would be number one, I would think.
No. No.
It's not on the list?
Named after, no, after the name of the country.
So there'd be like a Britain, Colorado. That's
exactly.
Yeah,
or,
like that.
Paraguay, Oregon, or something like that.
Oh,
okay?
I see.
These are the 10 foreign countries that have the most cities or towns named after them in the U.S. So you each get one guess.
Can we add letters to them?
No.
Okay. So it'd just be like Indianapolis wouldn't count for India.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. All right. And it's not named after India anyway.
I know.
How about Lafayette?
There's no foreign country.
Yeah, we got to name countries.
It has to be a foreign country. That is. So in other words, let me go over the question once more.
France is a foreign country.
Yeah, but there's no France.
What are the ten foreign countries most that have the most U.S. towns or cities named after them? Okay,
I don't get it.
Like Bolivia, Idaho, for instance.
Oh, okay,
like that, but
right.
not that. That is
Peru.
Not that.
Peru is one.
There you go.
There are 21 towns or cities named after Peru in the United States.
There's 21 Perus.
Yeah.
And what number is Peru on the list?
Number 8.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
All right, that's all yours. Right,
so that's...
You get one,
well,
too.
Well, you get one each? Oh, well. Oh,
we're struggling just to get the one.
Well, if I hadn't used up that 10 minutes explaining the question to you,
But I got one.
Yes, you did.
Paid off.
All right, I'm thinking.
All right.
Yeah, this is good.
And if you'd like to join us, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And listening to Minds Over Matter, we're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We do hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight is, of course, author Jerry Nachman, who also has a column in the, is the Marin IJ?
No. No, not quite. It's quite the opposite. The very conservative Washington Times.
Oh, the Washington Times.
Online,
me.
Yes.
All right.
I don't share their politics, but I do share their...
But don't you write for the Marin IJ every once in a while?
No, years and years ago. After I left the Chronicle, I was a critic for about a year.
Oh, okay.
That's a long time.
All right. Yeah. So, yes, he does have a column. Is it online?
Washington Times.
All right. Washington Times online.
Yeah, thank you.
It does not reflect his political
opinions. No, it does not.
It's just a paycheck.
Just a gig.
I'm the house loony, according to the readers.
So. All right. And Lori Fisher teaches at Dabble Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And again, the number is 415-841-4134. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station.
How about Poland on the list?
Poland Springs, Maine. That's the only one I've ever heard
of.
There aren't that many yet.
No.
I didn't know there were 20 Perus, so...
Yeah.
21.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of many.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Dan from Daly City.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, I had the radio off for a second. Have you got to the capital of Superman's home planet? Krypton?
Not yet. No. Not yet. Mm. We thought you might know it.
Well, I believe it's Kryptonopolis.
No. No. Good.
I like
good
that, though.
I like it, too.
Good guess. But no, that's not it.
Maybe the Greek language is not known on Krypton.
Krypton City. Kryptonville.
Okay, can I have another guess?
Yeah.
Okay, was it Kandor?
Kandor is it.
Oh, good job.
K-A-N-D-O-R.
I think he knew. Yeah.
You knew that all along, of course, yeah.
Excellent.
So does that have any meaning, any cryptic meaning, so to speak?
I'm not sure. Okay. The writers and editors of DC Comics in the 1950s seem to have like four or five plots that they use for like every story. So every story, someone from Krypton was escaping from the.
Are you a Superman?
Or Jimmy was trying to cut Superman's hair and the scissors would break, I guess.
Are you a comic strip buff or a Superman buff?
I used to collect, actually.
Okay.
Can I give you an insanely nerdish comic book question?
Sure.
Well, that was one.
Okay. Okay. If this one, you have, okay. Name the five kinds of kryptonite and what they do.
Oh, geez.
Superman.
We need Eid for that.
Wow.
Gee, I didn't know there were five kinds.
Yeah.
There were five kinds.
I just know the green shimmering kind.
Green shimmering kind is well known. It paralyzes Superman and then eventually kills him.
I don't know any
But there's different kinds. You mean they have different effects on him besides making him nauseous or nauseated
yeah.
or something?
Besides making him go arg kryptonite.
Well, one of them makes him lose his eyesight, but that he can see through things, right?
His x-ray vision.
Yeah, his x-ray
vision.
We
can't see through lead.
There's nothing that specific. Actually, the second most common kind of kryptonite was red kryptonite. This is something that the writers dreamed up to have, you know, have convenient plot devices. Basically, red kryptonite would have an unpredictable effect on it. It could make him invisible or make him turn green but make him blind or something. But it would only last for 48 hours. And then once that piece affected him, it could never affect him again.
Well, was there one that prevented him from flying?
Red kryptonite could potentially do that. Oh. That could be the effect of it. It's whatever the writers wanted him to do that month. They could say, Superman couldn't fly anymore. Okay. Red kryptonite, he can't fly.
But you said there are five altogether, three others?
Oh, there are five altogether.
Oh, gee.
I'll save you the extensive exit.
The yellow kryptonite turns him into a coward. Turns him back into Clark Kent.
No, actually, there was gold kryptonite. That would permanently take away all his superpowers. He would just be like a normal human being if he was exposed to gold kryptonite.
But it wouldn't really be permanent, would it? He'd get them back the next comic, right?
Well, this is what they say it does. It's the comics that can, you know. Evidently, Superman's never been exposed to it because he seems to still have all his superpowers.
Right. He does.
I guess. Well, and then there's also blue and white kryptonite. Blue kryptonite is deadly to all forms of plant life.
Plant life? Oh, I think so.
God only knows what story inspired that.
You say cat life?
I thought
you said
cat life, too.
And white kryptonite doesn't do anything. It's just a rock.
Oh.
God only knows why they invented white kryptonite.
It's fool's kryptonite.
We needed another rock.
Because earrings.
So none of them make it more attractive to Lois Lane or women?
They all do.
Well, you never know. I guess you should always give it a shot.
If you put enough in your... Anyway. Thank you very much.
Have a good evening.
All right,
love
you
your show.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
I was going to say Kandor as well, but I have further information. It shrunk, and Superman had it in a bottle in the Fortress of Solitude.
He had Kandor?
And I believe he was keeping it there until he could find a way to expand it, bring it back to normal size.
You mean the whole city?
Yeah, the whole city.
No kidding.
Wow,
it was in
good.
A bottle. That's right.
Okay.
By the way, when I was at Cal in the early 70s, it cost me $102.50 a quarter.
Wow. Okay. Those were the days.
Yeah.
That really was a golden era. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Jerry, is it your turn?
I guess so. I'll take it.
All right.
I may have to recuse you from the theater because it's... you'll see why. The highly regarded British film journal Sight and Sound recently replaced Citizen Kane in the number one position as one of the... magazine's top 10 films of all time. What movie replaced it?
As the number one?
Yeah.
Is Citizen Kane out of the top 10? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Or just out of the top spot?
I think it's just out of the top spot.
It's just out of the top spot. Yes, it's number two now. Yeah.
You must know.
I was surprised to read.
I used to read Sight and Sound. I used to have some,
yeah, it's still highly regarded, I think. But, and I was also going to ask for the later for the other ones on the list, but some are well known and some I never heard of.
All right, can you tell us if it's an American film or a British film?
Famous American film.
Oh, I figured.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I think it's what?
It wasn't going to be anything obscure.
No, I think it's. I've always thought it was really.
Is it more contemporary, like in the last 30 years?
Yeah.
Or 40?
Something like that. Yeah, I've always thought it was highly overrated myself, but that's just me.
Oh.
So what would Jerry think is overrated?
Oh, were you recusing me from this?
Hmm?
No.
What?
All right, then I will make a guess that it's Vertigo.
How'd you get that? From my comment?
Yeah.
How did you know I didn't like Vertigo?
Because I think it's an overrated film, too.
Oh, okay. It is Vertigo. Very good. Okay, so let's go to part two. Very good. How many of the magazine's top 10 films, or the remaining eight of all time, can you name? And as I said, some are very famous and a few I never heard of.
All right. Wrestling Women versus the Aztec Mummy.
That's 11th.
Nope.
let's see. I sort of remember the list from a long time ago because I remember seeing a bunch of La Ventura used to be on the list. Is it still?
No, it isn't. Not in okay. Top 10.
Kidding with a whip on there yet?
I think we know Dana, with Dana's go-to movies.
That's okay. Jerry's favorite title of all time.
How about The Grand Illusion?
No.
No?
You're kind of close, but not.
I'm close with The Grand Illusion?
Yeah.
So Rules of the Game?
Rules of the Game
is
number,
there you go.
Number four.
Okay.
Number three I never heard of. Number seven I never heard of. And number, those are the, number is eight
the,
I never
is
heard
the
of.
Third man one of them?
No. No.
How about, is there a Fellini film, La Dolce Vita?
There is one.
Eight and a half.
Number okay. Number 10.
And how about Jules and Jim?
No, that would be good. A good guess.
No,
I certainly put that
in. Is there a Truffaut film on there?
No.
All right, leave it out.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is it, I'm on the air?
You are.
Oh, wonderful. I wanted to go back to the movie question. Was it, I don't know what year it was released, but what, there was a movie with Clark Gable about the San Francisco earthquake, the 06 earthquake.
San Francisco.
Called San Francisco. And I probably would have won had the Oscar for special effects been given that year, but no, it wasn't. That was 36, and I'm looking for 39.
Oh, I have another answer about the country. Is, would Jamaica count?
Let me just check that. Wait a minute. That is not on the list. No.
Oh, and last thing about the movie, would The Godfather be on the list?
No, it is not.
You're kidding. Oh, well, darn. Freak Mark. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I know they used to rank The Magnificent Ambersons very high. Is that still on
no,
the list?
No, it's not on the list.
It's gone. Okay.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We have some lines open right now. Give us a call, 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Good.
Very good. So, Cal actually only had quarter system only a couple of years, mostly was semester system. And during my time, and I was there for a very long time, I won't tell you how many years, in grad school. But it was $20 for in-state students and $500 for out-of-state students.
This is a Cal
deal.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was the case. Krypton is an element that is actually KR, and it is number 36 in the periodic table. And it was that choice for the author of Superman because it does not react with anything. It's a noble gas. So kryptonite does not exist, but it's an fictional thing. But I have a couple of very interesting questions.
So it's not a pulsating green rock, in other words?
No, you can't make anything out of it.
But does that mean white kryptonite? What about white kryptonite?
Any chemicals. No, noble gases do not. That's why they're called noble. They don't mix with anything. Ah. You can't have them react with anything whatsoever. Helium and neon and krypton and so on.
Mm.
Okay, all of us, Americans, we eat our food every year. On the average, how many insects do you eat every year? Without your knowledge.
Insects?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, there are probably lots of insect parts that find their way into...
Are you talking about in weight or in number?
In everything. Actually, you probably have insects in most everything. Frozen food, canned food, cereal, all kind of thing. Rice,
it was just I think it was a Vietnamese restaurant just got closed down for having
for
too many cockroaches. So maybe...
Too many or too few?
No.
Too many.
And I'm talking about legitimate... If you go buy your food from Safeway or from whatever.
So you want a number?
I want a number every year. How many?
Oh, number, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm going to go with 5,000.
No, it is much. But let's just, because time is short, we'll say 500. Little bit less than 500. 470 and 60.
Really?
All of us. All of us.
So like one or two a day?
Yeah, about one and a half a day or something like that.
All right.
Yeah, and that is actually the same equal amount was rat droppings. But I hate to say that.
All right.
What you don't see won't hurt you.
I guess not.
I don't know about
that. Now it will.
All righty. Okay. Thank you.
No, one other question.
Over.
Another question. Yeah. The highest number of great white shark attacks happen in the red triangle. Where is the red triangle?
It's because they have so many shark attacks.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. I'm white. I'm actually strictly talking Great White.
Great White Attacks.
Great White Attacks.
The Red Triangle. Yeah. I don't know.
Aren't there more of those on the East Coast than the West Coast?
Well, I'm talking about the whole world. You know.
The Red Triangle.
Well, here that Australia has the highest number of shares. Well, it is much closer to home than you think. What do you think?
Oh, is it someplace like off Baja, California, someplace around there?
Much closer. In fact, there were many videos about it by scientists.
Much closer. So is it off San Francisco then? Is it out in the Farallons area?
Very much so. But how what is the triangle? It is a triangle that extends from. It is in Northern California, extends from one bay to another bay. Which bay do you think?
Monterey Bay.
Okay, what is the second bay?
So San Francisco Bay, Monterey Bay, and
the Bay of Fundy.
No.
Drake's Bay. Drake's Bay? Yeah, I don't know. Oh. What's the other bay?
The Bodega Bay.
Bodega Bay.
Okay. Bodega Bay. Right. Actually, they have the highest number. You know why? Because they have a lot of seals and sea elephants, all kind of things.
Right.
That attracts a white shark. Mm-hmm. And one last question for your audience, see if somebody come with it. This body of water, it was called before in the 19th century and below before that at the Ethiopian Sea.
The Ethiopian Sea?
Yeah. Think about it. You have to travel through it to go from, say, Greece to Ethiopia or from, you know, England to Ethiopia. What body of water do you think?
That would be the Mediterranean.
We know the Mediterranean existed for a long time. It was called Mediterranean.
Yeah.
So what is the other sea that you must travel
Red
through?
Red Sea.
That you must travel to go to Ethiopia from, say, England.
The Nile?
No.
And from England? What do you mean, from England?
From England to Ethiopia. Ethiopia is down in the Horn of Africa.
Yes. So, in other words...
What do you think it would be?
You have to... Well, there's no direct sea route from England to Ethiopia.
No, I'm not saying one sea. Well, of course, you have to go through... But it is a major body of water.
That's here in the Suez Canal, is it?
No.
All right.
It's a huge body of water.
All right.
Take it from me. I'll give you the answer. The Atlantic Ocean. The only way you could go to Ethiopia from England to Ethiopia. And it was called the Ethiopian Sea.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Eve. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And, yes, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
Well, okay, I'm looking for the British Film Journal Sight and Sound recently replaced their number one film, Citizen Kane, with Vertigo. I'm looking for the other eight on this all-time list. It's pretty...
We have some of them, right?
You've got Rules of the Game is the only one you've got.
How about City Lights?
No.
Yeah.
As I say,
are any of them
half of them are well-known.
Any of them silent?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because I don't know some of the titles.
The General
I don't think so.
Or The Gold Rush?
No.
All right.
Let's see. One is American. I don't know if the others are American.
And I have who was the first African American to be nominated for president by the Democratic Party, and it was in the 20th century. That's all I have. What year? I mean, our listeners may know who it was. I don't know the person, but the year is of interest.
He's very well known.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's not very well. Okay,
not to me anyway.
Okay.
Was this person in any sort of elective office?
No, not that I know of, and not according to what I printed here. It was clergyman, not Martin Luther King.
Clergyman.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
It's not well known. It would,
no,
yeah,
but the year, you could guess the year, and that's of interest.
And so the first Oscar for special effects was given for the year 1939. It was not Gone with the Wind or The Wizard of Oz. What was the big budget film with very, very well-known stars that achieved that first Academy Award for special effects? What are the top 10 cities and towns? What are the 10 most common names for cities or towns in the U.S. that are taken from foreign countries? Okay, the 10 most common cities or towns in the U.S. that have names of foreign countries. Okay, so far we have Peru. There are 21 Perus in the U.S., but we're still looking for the other 9. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Uh, let's see, for the cities and countries, how about Colombia?
No.
Really?
Mm. Okay, that's a surprise. I have a question, or a series of questions. This is Kurt in San Francisco. These concern scales of measurement, like the Richter scale for earthquakes, pH for acidity, that sort of thing. Mm. So there's six of them.
And,
a couple are pretty well known, the others not so much. So I'll just give them, I'll read them off, and then I can repeat them if you like. The first is the Scoville scale.
Oh, that's for chili. They use that for chilies. It's the hotness.
Okay, so, let me just read them off.
Oh, all right.
You can shoot me down here. the second would be the Mohs scale, M-O-H-S. Third would be the Janka scale, J-A-N-K-A. The fourth are actually two scales. They're related to the same thing. It's the Palermo and Torino scales. The fifth is the Glasgow scale, Glasgow like the Scotland town. And the sixth is actually the two scales that are related again, the Hamilton-Norwood scale and the Ludwig scale.
Wow.
Well, the Scoville.
That's correct, by the way. That's related to chilies and chemicals.
Right. So that was the only one I knew right offhand.
What was the second one? The Moab?
Moab, M-O-H-S.
M-O-H-S.
The only one that sounds a little familiar is the Glasgow scale. I don't know why, but it seems like I've heard it before.
Measures the noises that bagpipes make. played.
Never know. Are any of them musical?
No, none of them are musical.
The number of bagpipes per capita, yeah.
Most are scientific in some capacity or another.
Now we need Ede to call in with the answers.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
We don't know.
Good work, Kurt.
The scale is mineral hardness.
Right.
It goes 1 to 10, talc to diamond. Janka is wood hardness. Anything from there's something softer than balsa to something that's incredibly hard. The Palermo and Torino scales relate to the likelihood and potential devastation of meteor impacts. The Glasgow scale, and this might be familiar to you for some reason or another, it has to do with coma or level of consciousness, levels of coma or consciousness.
Yeah, I'm usually at the low end sometimes.
And the Hamilton, Norwood, and Ludwig scales are related to the Hamilton, Norwood is the progression of male pattern baldness. The Ludwig scale is the female counterpart.
I'm usually at the low end of that, too.
What is the hardest wood? I'm just curious.
Hardest wood is something that it's called buloke. I may be pronouncing that wrong, B-U-L-O-K-E. It's from Australia.
Uh-huh.
Most of the hard woods are so dense they sink. They don't float.
Wow.
And there's something softer than balsa as well.
Okay.
And then I have one, since this went so quickly, I have one extra credit, one for the listeners. This is the Bristol scale, and I'll just leave that for the listeners. This may not be up to Mind Over Matters decorum standards, so we'll just put that
All right. Oh, leave it out then.
Does that have something to do with the Bristol stomp?
That's a pretty...
I didn't know we had one.
Yeah.
I think Bristol Myers is on the right track.
Our bar is pretty low, so don't worry about
with hair, somebody with hair cream. And
thank you very much. All right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And, Lori, I think it's your turn.
All right. Well, this one, we'll see. I'm getting into pure trivia now. I asked a different version of this. I'd like to know the opening numbers of these really well-known Broadway musicals, not the movie versions, which sometimes change them, but the one, if you saw it on stage, they're all really well-known plays. Bye Bye Birdie's the first. I'm looking for the opening musical number from Bye Bye Birdie from Chicago.
Wait a minute, Chicago.
Third one is Chorus Line. Fourth one is Hair. And number five is Funny Girl. So I'm looking for the opening musical number. I'll give you one each. Bye Bye Birdie, Chicago, Chorus Line, Hair, and Funny Girl.
Well, Bye Bye Birdie, I think, is Kids.
No.
It isn't.
It's not Kids.
Oh, it's not Kids.
Not Kids.
Chicago, All That Jazz.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, that's yours for now.
Oh, is it Bye Bye Birdie, the one where they're all talking on the phone?
In the movie, it is. The phone song. And in the play, it's not.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we all get one each.
Well, let's leave some
Hair,
out there.
Hair, Funny Girl, and Chorus Line.
I really need this job as a Chorus Line?
I hope I get it.
Very
so
good.
Give you each a bell for that. So we're left for the callers to get Bye Bye Birdie, Hair, Funny Girl. You can take another guess in a minute.
Okay.
All right.
All well done.
All right, let me do my question, then we'll go back to calls. This so far this year, let's put it this way, so far this year, and this may change, what two media markets, by media markets I mean basically name the city, have had the highest percentage of money spent on them for political ads? In other words, broadcast political ads. So what two cities in the U.S. up to this point have the most money spent there for political ads?
Columbus, Ohio?
No.
Miami?
No.
Las Vegas?
No. I'll give you one more guess, Jerry.
Geez.
There are two states in play.
So I don't want remember, just the cities I'm on.
Just the cities.
Yeah. What two cities in the U.S. have had so far up to this point this year, have had the most money spent on political ads being broadcast?
All the toss-up areas. Yeah. I'm trying to think. We thought of Florida. We thought of Ohio. We thought of
Nevada.
Nevada.
Unless it's other cities in those states.
Yeah.
He stopped me from asking, so you could guess other cities in those states. And they should be.
What other states are in play? Let's see.
I think Wisconsin's in play.
All right.
How about Milwaukee?
No.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hi, you there, caller?
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I have some possible answers. This is Terry from Fairfax.
Hi.
Hi. The film that that bumped, anyway, one of the 10 films, is it Casablanca?
No, Dana got it. It is Vertigo.
Oh, you already got that one.
Yeah,
okay.
I got that. Well, I'm looking for the other eight on the list.
And Casablanca's not on the list.
Casablanca's not one of the eight?
No, it is not on the list.
Okay. The countries where the cities are named after, Poland?
No, not Poland.
Oh, gosh. Okay. The film with the special effects, All Quiet on the Western Front?
No, that's not 1939, and this one would be 1939.
Okay. Then the most recent one, the two cities with political ads, Philadelphia?
No.
Cleveland?
No.
Okay.
All good guesses.
All right. Love your show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi. The Mohs thing I got intrigued about, is that a scale for the size of a skin cancer?
No, that was Kurt's question. The Mohs scale was was the hardness of gems and minerals.
Oh,
so like
okay.
How the diamond's the hardest, and I don't know what's the softest.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I had some country names here. Egypt?
Let me just check this. Egypt, no.
Lebanon?
Yes, that's number one.
Yeah. Hey.
Wow. Very good. There are 65 towns or cities named Lebanon in the U.S.
There's only 50 states, and there's 65 Lebanons?
It could be a
amazing.
Town.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, and what about Canada?
No.
No Mexico?
No.
Oh, well. Okay, now the Bye Bye Birdie thing.
Yes.
Actually, I think at the beginning of Bye Bye Birdie, isn't there a number called Bye Bye Birdie?
In the movie. They wrote it for the movie. I don't think it's in the musical play at all.
Well, you guys are tough today.
Sorry. We're very strict.
Bye.
Thank you. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi,
how are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm calling about the city. Is one of the cities Paris?
No. Okay. Are you talking about the countries or which?
The countries, the cities that are named after foreign countries.
Yeah, but it has to, the city or town has to be named after a foreign country. So you can't, for instance, Paris, you can't.
A country, not a foreign city.
Yeah, so it has to be France instead of Paris. But no.
Right, it wouldn't be France.
No.
I know that for sure.
All right.
Okay, and what about movies? Can you tell me what the question was again about the films? Was it the top 10 films?
Sight and Sound is a famous British film journal, and they just came out with their 10 best films of all time, and
is
the first
Tokyo
two.
Tokyo Story on the list.
What?
Tokyo Story.
That's
Tokyo,
number three.
Tokyo Story.
I never heard of Tokyo.
Oh,
very good.
Very good.
Number three.
It's
is that an American film?
No, it's Japanese.
Okay. What else?
So do I get a bell?
You got a bell. We were talking
to
you again.
Oh,
okay. What about Citizen Kane? Did you guys say Citizen Kane?
That's number two. I said that already. Yeah.
Yay! Okay.
Okay.
And the media market, was it Des Moines? Is one of the cities Des Moines, Iowa?
Not Des Moines.
Okay, thank you. I enjoy your show. It's really dorky. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We strive for that. Tokyo Story.
That's our goal.
Have you heard of Tokyo Story?
Yes, I have.
I've seen Tokyo
Story. It's excellent.
Yeah, okay.
What makes me think maybe Rashomon is on the list?
No.
Okay.
No, they wouldn't have two Japanese films.
Well, they could.
I don't know about that.
Two excellent films.
They might. Is The Red Shoes on there? No. Mm. No. Must be some British film on that list.
A British film? I wouldn't think so.
Sight and Sound is a British journal. One of these, number seven, I can't read my own handwriting. I'm sorry. I'll have to come back next week for that.
Number seven is a British film?
What is that?
Having our audience help out.
Not Life and Death of Colonel Blimp. That's my favorite British film.
No, is it really?
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's not, I don't think it's that good. Oh, I like it a lot.
But it's not in the top ten.
Okay, I got them all. I got number seven.
Okay,
all
right. Is number seven British?
No, it's American. Okay. A classic American film.
And
Western.
Oh, High Noon.
Mm. No. Let's go to a call.
Red River.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ed from North Carolina.
Hi, Ed.
Our other fan club.
Mind Over Matter North Carolina fan club. And hi to Kurt. Great question. the potential answer about the Mohs, which was not correct, is because a surgical procedure called the Mohs procedure is done for wider excision of skin cancers, mostly on the face.
Oh.
But I've called with a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm giving you National Anthem relief. It is not part of this test. If you think back to the British invasion, we think of the Beatles as the beginner of that, but yet there was, in fact, a group that had a number one song, the first of the British groups that had a number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 before the Beatles.
Dave Clark Five, were they British?
They were British.
Gary and the Pacemakers?
Nope.
How about
Herman's Hermits?
Was it Billy J. somebody in the Mindbenders?
All part of that group, but not before the Beatles.
Okay, so
was Herman's Hermits a British?
They were British. Yeah, they were all British, but this is before the Beatles, and it was a group, not an individual.
Interestingly, there was an individual who had the very first number one song on our charts, but that was Acker-Bilk. But I'm looking for a group.
Oh, wow. You're looking for a group, and it was a rock and roll group, just like in 62 or 63. Is that about the time?
Exactly right.
All right. Wayne Fontana, was it him?
Nope.
And the Mindbenders. They hit big.
Debbie, our board op, suggested the Yardbirds.
Good, but still not the number one group.
Oh, yeah.
Nope, we don't know.
Want to tell us the song? We'll know.
The song was Telstar.
It was an instrumental.
We had a question about that.
Yeah.
We did.
And it was...
And of course, I can't remember the answer.
Not the Ventures.
The Birds? Was that a
It wasn't the Birds. No, there were no words, and it was, about...
Yeah. The Wayfarers.
I'll give you one last try.
The something tones, the Accutones.
We did have a question about...
The Tornadoes.
The Tornadoes. Yeah. Wow. What year? Wasn't that... Was that in the 50s, or did it make
no,
the
No, that
60s?
Was... Billboard Hot 100 really started in the 60s. That was December of 62.
Wow.
And Acker-Bilk's famous Stranger on the Shore.
Yeah.
Was about 4 months before that, but... I was looking for
I don't think either was part of the British invasion, to be technical.
Well, Acker-Bilk was a big band.
He was a clarinetist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's why I didn't count.
Yeah, right. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, you guys. Have a great time.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I'd like to guess some of the countries.
Yes.
Somebody already got Lebanon. Mm-hmm. So what about Jordan?
Yes.
Ooh.
Great. Would another one be Gibraltar?
No.
No. Okay. How about the movies in the top 10? Is one Peeping Tom?
What was the name of it?
Peeping Tom.
No.
Michael Powell.
No.
Mm. What about Arsenic and Old Lace?
No.
No? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't give you your bell. There you go. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Marge in San Francisco.
Hi.
Hi. I have a couple of guesses on that film that got the award for the special effects in 1939.
Yes.
Was it The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Oh, that's a very good guess, but no, not The Hunchback.
That was earlier, I think.
Right? No, that was 1939.
Oh, was it? 1939.
Oh, I was going to guess that, and I thought that's too early.
How about Gunga Din?
That's also a very good guess, but no.
Wow. It wasn't that one either. Drums Along the Mohawk?
Nope.
Gee.
Well,
these are good movies, too.
I tried. About the countries that are named cities, how about Prussia?
Prussia, no.
Persia?
No.
China?
Yes.
China?
China.
How many?
Yes.
Corsica?
22. No Corsica.
And about the list of the most famous films, is Red River on there?
No, it is not.
Oh.
Good guess.
I have a quick question for you guys. Somebody may have brought it up before, but I'm fairly new to the show. Do you happen to know where the word cowabunga first originated?
Oh.
That was on the Howdy Doody.
Before that?
It was Howdy Doody.
Howdy Doody,
right. I think it was Bob Keeshan who invented it.
Yeah.
He was the first Clarabelle.
Yeah. Right.
No, Clarabelle didn't talk. He just used
right.
He just used that that little horn.
So did Buffalo Bob say it?
No. Cowabunga, no.
Yeah.
No. It was Chief Thunderfud.
Oh, very good.
Well, you know your Howdy Doody.
Would say Cowabunga, and Princess Summerfall, Winter Spring would say Cowagoopa.
Excellent.
A gendered
Judy Tyler.
Thank you very
much. I used to watch the show.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
On the film list, how about Stagecoach?
No.
That's not the worst.
How about The Searchers?
Searchers is number 7. That's the one I couldn't read.
And next call? Hi, you're on Minds Over Matters. Yes.
Yeah, cities.
Oh, cities, yes. Go ahead. It's
there?
Countries, though. Countries.
Oh, cities named after countries, yes. Peru?
We got Mexico. That's one of them. Mexico, no.
Poland. There are several Polands.
But not enough to be in the top 10.
Oh, okay, in the top 10.
Right.
Turkey?
No.
Germany?
No.
Cuba?
Yes.
Ooh, how many?
26.
Really?
Never been
there.
Where
are they?
No,
not all in Florida.
Probably none of them.
Thank you. Is that it? Nope, sorry. All right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Did anyone answer the previous caller's question about the scale and with the Bristol reference?
No one got the Bristol.
No.
Do you have the answer there, though?
No, go ahead.
Debbie does.
I think it might be something to do with breasts.
With breasts?
Yeah, because Cockney rhyming slang for a certain variety of breasts is Bristol City.
We're saying, we have no.
Total other end, no.
Other end.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Butt size. It's butt size?
All right.
No, sorry.
All right, we have to clean up here. Jerry, what do you have?
We're really
okay, good. the other films on the Sight and Sound, well, they are Vertigo, Citizen Kane, Tokyo Story, Rules of the Game, then Sunrise, A Story of Two Humans.
No, I've seen that.
That's a silent film.
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like it. The number 6, 2001. Number 7 is Searchers. Number 8 is Man with a Movie Camera. Never heard of that.
Yeah, that's a Russian.
Oh, great. Okay. 9 is The Passion of Joan of Arc.
Another silent film.
And 10 is 8.5.
Okay.
All right.
And I have the first African-American to be nominated by the Democratic Party was Channing Phillips, a Washington minister, in 1968. So almost 80 years after the Republican Party, surprisingly. The opening number from Bye Bye Birdie in the play is an English teacher. In Hair, it's Aquarius. And Funny Girl, If a Girl Isn't Pretty.
I knew that one. Yeah.
All right. The first Oscar for special effects was given for the 1939 film The Rains Came. The Rains Came with Myrna Loy and Tyrone Power. Oh. Set in India, there was a big, spectacular earthquake and flood sequence in it. And the two media markets that have gotten the most money spent on political advertising, strangely enough, are Tampa and Charlotte, where the political conventions are going to be held. The foreign countries most likely to be also the name of a U.S. town or city, Lebanon, Holland, Jordan, Cuba, Scotland, China, Denmark, Peru, Norway, and Sweden.
What about the Bristol scale?
What is that, Deb?
It has to do with poop.
Poop. All right.
Oh, thank you, Kurt.
All right. And if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our great thanks to our panel tonight, author Jerry Nachman from Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher. Thank you very much, Lori.
Thanks, Dan.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and, of course, Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott handling the board and phones. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.